Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey guys, it's Candace and
Melissa. Kayla's not here today.
We're so smooth. We nailed it. We nailed it.
I'm here.
Our producer, Melissa Montz, is joining us today. We have such a fun episode and we're kind of geeking out. I feel like you're actually one of the people who got me really committed to watching The Real Housewives franchise.
You know, I feel like it's life changing. It helps me navigate the world. It's also something that a lot of other women watch. So it helps with conversation starters. And I know when we had Danny Pellegrino on, he had said they're like our modern day soap operas. And I am a soap opera fan. And I actually had believed that before. So I just like that I had been validated by that. So, yeah.
I love it. I always forget that about you. And then every time you remind me, it just makes me so happy. But it is a modern day soap opera. There is like such a strong community within all of the Real Housewives franchises. And I'm pretty new to the game. But one specific franchise that kept coming up in every conversation was The Real Housewives of Potomac, and specifically last season. Everyone was saying like the whole buildup was just a great ride and last season was going to be great. And wow, that was very like full bodied television.
Yeah, I feel like it's like a consensus that is the current like best franchise. And I think you got a good sense of, I think that season summarizes all the seasons of Real Housewives, like in one season of every franchise.
It was great. There was drama.
Mm-hmm. There's fighting.
A lot of drama. There was fighting.
There's also friendship and sisterhood too.
Yes. And a fun trip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was like, I liked it because it didn't go over, like New York was a hard season last season me to watch. You know, it got a little messy.
They didn't have a person that was like grounding the show. And so it was a little wild.
Yes. And then, you know, and then like, you know, a couple seasons ago, I felt like Beverly Hills didn't really have enough going on. When you're talking about a dog named Lucy Apple Juicy for like five episodes, maybe there needs to be some other things happening
right
on the show.
I still think that. But anyway.
But today we have, I think she's kind of like the goat of the Real Housewives like franchises. Like mm-hmm. she's so cool. Greatest of all time. Mm-hmm. She's got 4 degrees.
The most educated Real Housewife of all time.
Today is International Women's Day and we are joined by Dr. Wendy Osefo. Oh my goodness, we're so excited. Dr. Wendy Osefo is an award-winning researcher. She is a Nigerian-American television personality on Real Housewives of Potomac and a highly sought-after progressive political commentator and strategist. She's also a professor of education at the Johns Hopkins University, a contributor at The Hill, and the founder and CEO of the 1954 Equity Project, LLC. As a researcher, Dr. Wendy examines how race and class influence the learning, achievement, and educational trajectories of African-American and other non-dominant students in schools and community settings. Dr. Osefo's latest research explores the effects of the 2016 United States presidential election on minority populations and the role of inclusion and asset-based strategies in higher education. I mean, she's a badass.
Yeah, like a CEO, a doctor, a mom, like all of it. She's a badass. There's no other
yeah.
way to put it.
Oh, yeah. And she's a mother of three.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a real housewife. And so that's why we're so excited to have her today. We have so many questions asking her how she balances all of this, especially during a pandemic. We could go on and on about how excited we are to actually sit down with Dr. Wendy. So let's just get to it. Let's do this. Without further ado, here's our conversation with Dr. Wendy Osefo. And we are here with Dr. Wendy Osefo. Dr. Wendy, thank you so much for joining us. Melissa and I are big fans of Real Housewives of Potomac and all four of your degrees.
Yes.
Ah! All four of them. Oh my God. I can't believe that made air.
A lot of air.
Yeah. A lot.
But I personally appreciated it. I loved it. Aww, a lot.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much.
I loved it. I'm a daughter of a doctor. And so it was always Aww. Really important to me growing up of addressing doctors by doctor. So I loved when you were like, no, you address me correctly. And I was like, yes, I understand that. Yes, you should be dressed as Dr. Wendy Osefo. Had you ever watched The Real Housewives, any of the franchises before?
Yes. It's so funny, right? Because I'm a fan of old school Jersey. Mm. I'm an old school Jersey girl, like Trey when she was Trey with Joe and the Manzos. Like, I'm an old school Jersey girl. But it's funny because I never watched Potomac. And I know that sounds crazy. My mom watched Potomac. And so when I got cast on the show, I was like, I need to know what's going on here. And so my mom was like my like cliff notes. Like, I didn't get anything. And I was like, wait, why do they have an issue? What's going on? And my mom would like brief me on what's happening. So it's really interesting because out of all the franchises, I did not watch mine. There's other franchises I have not watched, but I didn't watch Potomac. And so I came into it a little bit blind. And spoiler alert, if you're ever going to join a Housewives franchise, I recommend you watch the show before you join. Like, seriously. Like, I didn't. And I'm like, man, I wish I did.
What do you think would have been different if you had watched it before?
Oh, man. Like, I think for me, with any friendships, it never exists in a vacuum. There's history to it. And so coming in as a new person, you know, you hear conversations, you hear discussions, and you take it for face value. But that's not true. Like, there's something that happened in episode 13, season 2, that made so-and-so hate so-and-so, and you don't know that, you know? So there's a plus and a minus because you come into it without watching the show, and you come into it very clear and thought in the sense of you don't have preconceived notions. Does that make sense? Like, mm-hmm. it's just me watching this happen and I'm giving my opinion. Boom. Versus people who have watched the show and they come in and they say things and you're like, how do you know them? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Because even though you guys are watching it, but it's not, you're not supposed to be watching the show, right? But if you mm-hmm. have someone who comes in and it's episode two, and in episode two, they're like, I don't like you, and cursing someone out, you're like, well, why don't you like her? You don't know her. Does that make yeah. sense? Like, mm-hmm. so you yeah. came in as a fan almost, and right. you're displaying your fandom versus someone who comes in with a clear thought. But you know, there's an upside and a downside to everything, I would say.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you have such a full plate already as a professor, a political commentator. You have a family, three kids. You were actually 3 weeks postpartum when you started filming, which is incredible, by the way. I'm 3 months postpartum right now. So I don't know how. Thank you. I mean, you looked great on the show. You looked incredible. No, but like, but you know, it's like, I know you don't feel great, but you really did. Like, having three kids is insane. What made you think, oh, yeah, I'll just add being a real housewife to my list of things to do? Because that's a full, all-encompassing experience, I would assume.
Yeah, I was about to curse. I was going to say, well, because I'm batshit crazy. Yeah. No, but because, like, I'm one of those people that I am an adrenaline junkie. I live off of adrenaline. So it makes sense that my first two kids are boys, because when they do things, like, you know, in their heads, they're like, I'm going to jump off the couch and see if I could land on the ottoman. To the world, it doesn't make sense. To me, their mom, who's an adrenaline junkie, 50% of me is like, well, let's see if you land on the ottoman. Even though I shouldn't say that, like, I like adrenaline. Like, that stuff, like, makes me, like, you know, move every day. So I say that to say joining the show was like, I know you have a full plate, but how great would it be if you also add this to your plate? Why not? Let's see how that unravels. And it was a complete cluster from my vantage point, because, you know, Cam was my third child, is my third child. And she was a preemie. I didn't take that into consideration, right? And when I said I didn't take that into consideration, meaning you come in not necessarily knowing when you're going to start filming. So I had met with, like, the powers that be before I was even pregnant with Cam, just to tell you how long everything takes. Before I was pregnant with Cam, I met with the powers that be. I actually even told them I want to have another child. Like, that was one of my initial interview questions. So you start this process, and then, you know, you end up having this baby. You think she's going to come on time. She doesn't. She's preemie. You're breastfeeding. And then you add this new element of cameras in your face. And so I didn't take into consideration everything that comes into filming. And that's one thing I would say. When I watch the Housewives, I look at them and I'm like, oh, that's so cool. Like, that looks so neat. Like, you know, you're with your friends and cameras are following you. No, it's work, and it's hard work. Yeah. Our filming schedule is grueling. You guys can watch a scene of us eating dinner, and it may take up each episode's an hour. So a dinner scene, what, it'll take up like 10, 15 minutes. Yeah, that scene was filmed over 5 hours. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't know these things. And I say that to say, if I would have known that, would I have taken on Housewives when I did? Probably not. But I'm glad I took it on when I did, because now that we're into season 6, it's not a walk in the park, but I say to myself, I mean, you filmed the last season with a newborn baby, breastfeeding, all of this in front of millions of people. Now you're like, it's easy, you know?
Yeah,
it was hard. It was stressful. It was so stressful.
Yeah, I'm sure. And, you know, Housewives has like a reputation. You watch New Jersey of like table throwing and breaking glasses and fights and drama and stuff. And so, like, has that at all, like, your decision to join Real Housewives, has that hindered or affected your careers in education and political commentary?
That's a great question. It's so funny, because part of the reason why I was okay with joining Potomac was because Potomac did not have that reputation. Like, they were like so calm. So, you know, there were these women who were reserved, and, you know, they were different. They got, you know, into their issues, but it was okay. This mm-hmm. is what my Cliff Notes told me, my mom, right? So my mom was like, no, this is different. Their franchise is different. And lo and behold.
Oh, boy.
Isn't that crazy? The season I joined, I'm like, what? And I think like they always played like that scene of me going like this afterwards. And I remember thinking in my head when that happened, I was like, and I said this, I verbalized it. It didn't make the cutting room floor. I said, I looked over to Giselle and I said, I didn't sign up for this. Mm-hmm. And so to answer your question, before joining, I was like, no, this is Potomac. Like, this is not going to hurt me. And then after joining, I'm like, oh my goodness. But I think for me, of course, Housewives can have a negative connotation to some people. Mm-hmm. But I was going to be true to myself and who I am. And who I am is I don't flip tables. Who I am is I don't do those things. So I was just hoping that whatever happened, it would not be something that I'm involved in, if that mm-hmm. makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know, because that's not me. And I'm not one of those people that I put on necessarily for the cameras. Like, I'm not going to flip the table because I'm not breaking my nails because I paid too much for them. Like, that's not me. So, yeah.
I mean, it was obvious when you hosted your Wine with Wendy event and just bringing together a group of women and saying, hey, you need to get out there. And if you're not registered to vote, get registered. You need to educate yourself on local elections because that's where you're going to feel the difference within the community and getting involved and paying attention. Did you know that you wanted to bring that to essentially your storyline coming into Potomac? Was that something at the forefront of your thought process on, do you create opportunities like that? Or do the producers come to you and say, like, do you pitch them or do they pitch you?
Great question. I think for first season, definitely, it's like, we just want to follow your life. Like, who are you? I don't know if as ladies become more seasoned and long in the tooth as far as becoming a housewife, then there's more of a collaborative effort between themselves and the production team. But for me, it was like, this is what I have going on in my life. I had so many other things, but they just followed me. Like when I was doing my TV segments, they would follow it. Or when I was doing my Wine with Wendy, that's something I wanted to do because it so happened that the show aired in an election year, but we filmed it the year before election. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to get people out to get registered because you don't want to wait till the ninth hour and the deadline for registration is closed. And as fate will have it, we see how the election turned out where we're so close. Like, we were waiting for days to find out who won that election. And I'm so glad that I was able to mobilize people to get registered to vote because literally every vote counted. So for my first season, it was just events I had. And then the cameras said, okay, we'll follow you. Like Cameron Sippensy, that was a cultural event. That was like her christening. That was going to happen whether I was on the show or not. So everything I did was something organic to me. I would actually say it was the reverse. I wanted to do more. But because I was filming, I rescheduled some events. And as fate would have it, we wrapped filming in December. And all the events I scheduled for the spring ended up being canceled because the pandemic hit. Right. So I had so much more stuff lined up, like active, like door knocking for voter registration and stuff like that. But I was like, cameras are going to follow. I don't want to knock on someone's door. And then the camera's like in your face as I'm saying, yeah. Hey, do you want to register or vote? But yeah, so those were all things that were on my to-do list in the fall anyway, and they just caught it.
Awesome. Yeah, I love like seeing you being politically active on the show because I think that just brought another like level. Like, you're so multifaceted, multi-hyphenate, and I think it just like helps elevate the show. So
thank you.
I really appreciate you showing that part.
I appreciate that.
You mentioned the cameras followed you for your political commentating. And we were both talking before getting on with you what it must be like to be a political commentator specifically for Fox News. I'm sure you get this question a lot, having come yeah. from working with Obama's administration and then Fox News, which is obviously a very conservative news outlet. What has that experience been like, especially last year in a year like 2020 in an election year? Mm-hmm. Where I would assume from following you that you weren't necessarily voting for the people that Fox News was promoting.
Very true. Good guess. No, I think it's made me battle tested, honestly. And it also made me battle tested to even come into Housewives. Like when you go into the lion's den and you are the opposition and everyone is against you, it's not just you going up against, like I always went up against Kayleigh McEnany, the former White House press secretary. That was, they loved our banter, so they will always book us together. So here I am going against the White House press secretary, and I'm going up against her, but I'm also going up against the viewers in a sense, right? Because you know who you're talking to. It doesn't matter what you say, they already don't like you. And you're also going up against the anchor. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if people know this, like it's like a panel discussion. The moderator sets the tone. If you're making a point and the anchor is cutting you off, it doesn't matter what you have to say because you can't land your points. So I'm going up against the big three, as I like to call them. I'm going up against my fellow commentator. I'm going up against the viewers, and I'm going up against the anchor. That takes a certain level of, you know, guts in a sense. And I've done it for years and years, and it's just made me like who I am. Like it's literally made me battle tested. But I will say, if you want to know the truth, I get this question. Housewife viewers are harder than Fox News viewers. Hands down. Yeah. Hands down.
Especially
hands
on down. Social media and
hands coming down.
At, yeah.
That's hands crazy. Down. I thought like, man, I did Fox. I got this, you know, I eat those, like it doesn't matter. And Fox is bad because as soon as I always have my phone beside me when I do a hit, and you know, it's live TV. So as soon as they announce me, my phone will start vibrating. Like, it's like people, I haven't said anything. People are already attacking me. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, oh, this is going to be a fun day. But Housewife viewers, you guys are vested. I mean, they will tell you what you did, literally season 5, episode 3, why they don't like you. And then they will bring it full circle as to why they still don't like you the next season, even if you're a reformed person. Like, it's crazy. And I love it because these are people who watch your show. But when I say people are vested, I mean, if we were as invested in Housewives as we were in politics, like our nation would be so much greater. Like, no, like politics. And this is what I learned. And I'll get off my soapbox. Politics is ephemeral. Like, people hear stuff. They get riled up. They say what they have to say. They move on. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm, you said mm-hmm. something. I don't agree. Taxes shouldn't be like that. They move on. They live their lives. Housewives fans, no, they are invested in this. They say what they have to say. They don't move on. They argue with people who disagree with them. They stick out through the whole season. And even in the off season, if you post a picture, they will remind you why they don't like you. I'm like, the season has been over. They don't care. They don't care. They'll say under my picture, well, that's why you should have said so-and-so. Whoa, that was like
so long ago. Yeah. Yeah.
It's the funniest thing.
Yeah. Cause like on Fox News, like I've watched a lot of your clips from Fox News, and you don't get the last word on there.
No,
they always, it's either the other panelist that's there or the host does, and they completely go over the point that you're making. And then with Housewives, are you able, or do you want to even engage in like combating what people have said to you?
No, I don't want to get into it. I don't want to combat because there's so many people. It's like basically like my grandma used to have this analogy, and she said it's like going on top of a hill and dumping cotton balls. No matter what, you can never catch all of them. Like some will fly away. And that's why I feel like you can't combat everything. If it's big enough, I will say it. I will say what I need to say, you know? But no, like let people think what they want to think and you keep on moving because everyone has an opinion, you know? Like, and I think that it's entertainment and we signed up for it. And our life is, you know, people's entertainment, but it's just a glimpse of a portion of our life. Like for instance, I was watching Watch What Happens Live, and Lisa from Salt Lake City was on there. And one of the questions that was posed to her was, do you worry about your kids' diet because you always buy them fast food? And I'm just like, it was a scene where she went from different fast food restaurants to buy her kids food. Like she went to Taco Bell, Burger King or something. And from that glimpse, people assume that she's not a good mother or she feeds her kids junk food solely. And so it's like little things like that, that is like, is that even worth the conversation where you literally just saw them on the night that they eat out going from fast food to fast food. And it turns into, does she feed her kids healthy foods? And it's like, whoa, okay. But yeah, so no, I don't combat everything. You can't possibly. Mm-hmm.
Did it bother you at first, just kind of this onslaught of just opinions in a new way or just comments? Have you been able to let it go now that you've had a full season?
Yeah. At first, it was more so a shock. I was shocked. I was like, because I watch TV, like I love like TV too. You know, my show on there is, I always say this and I always forget the name of the show. And I always say it's my favorite show. And people are like, how's it your favorite show if you forget the name? Anyway, it's Snowfall. I absolutely love Snowfall. And so like I watch Snowfall on FX and stuff like that. And I've never been a watcher and a social media person at the same time. Like I watch a show, yeah. I consume it. I talk to my husband, I move on. Mm-hmm. So to see the people who watch it, tweet about it and talk about it, that's like, oh, okay, that's interesting. But it was a shock at first to see how invested people were. But now it doesn't bother me. I think we all have our no fly zones. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like you could talk about me. You could talk about if you don't like my hair this week or something, talk about me. But I think where you guys will be like, ooh, Wendy's responding is if anyone ever like talked about my kids. That's probably where it's like, okay, I have time today. Yeah, that'll be my, exactly. I have time today.
Please stretch my fingers out. I'm ready.
Exactly. Exactly.
I do want to ask about being a political commentator and then also a mother in reference to what occurred at the Capitol building on January 6th. I know your kids are young, but this also happens so close to home, essentially. Do you talk about this with your kids? I mean, I found myself, we have a bunch of ages in our house. I've got teenage stepdaughters, and then I have a 5-year-old. And so it was interesting balancing, you know, how to discuss this with our older kids. And then also I kept stopping, you know, pausing the TV every time our 5-year-old would come in. And I was just wondering how you maybe navigated something like that as a mother.
That is a great question. Honestly, I don't think they are aware of what happened at the Capitol building because if my memory serves me correctly, I was bouncing back and forth on TV, but I believe that was during school hours for my kids. And so they were downstairs. We create like a space for them downstairs and they have a tutor that comes in. But it wasn't the same for George Floyd.
Yeah.
They were very aware of what happened then. Yesterday, actually, during breakfast, and it's so funny because it's not funny, but it's funny and sad because you think kids don't know what's going on. They are very well aware, but they process in their own way. And so yesterday, we've had the conversation about George Floyd and stuff like that. But yesterday, just out of nowhere, my son was eating his food and he said, Mom, what do we do when a police officer pulls us over? And I'm feeding my 19-month-old daughter and I sort of freeze and I don't want to have this conversation. And my husband is walking the dog. I said, ask daddy when he comes back, because I don't want to have this conversation. I've been trying to avoid having the talk with them. And then the other one, his sidekick, chimes in and he says, so if they tell us to get out the car, do we get out the car? And I say, again, ask daddy. And so the nail in the coffin was when my 7-year-old then, you know, puts a bow on it and he says, because I know that we're Black and I know that, you know, police officers sometimes pull us over simply because we're Black and I don't want them to pull me over and I don't know what to do. So those conversations are really, really hard because kids are aware. So I am actually glad that they don't know about what happened in the Capitol because clearly from yesterday's question, they still are processing everything that happened with George Floyd and Black Lives Matter. And it's really hard because they watch me on TV and they also want to know the background to some of the things I'm discussing on TV, you know? So if I'm talking about something, they want to know, okay, so tell me about that a little bit, if that makes sense, you know? So it's hard. It's hard balancing the two. I've started to opt to only taking segments. My phone just went off if you saw me looking. That's actually Fox News. They want me to do a segment on Thursday, and I've opted to try to just take segments that happen while they're in class. So yeah, they don't have to watch it and I don't have to explain it. It's really hard.
Yeah. I can imagine. Yeah, that is very hard.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back in just a minute.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
It's time to get more in 2024. I know for me, one of my goals is to feel really strong this year. And honestly, so far, so good. Because that's where 310 Nutrition comes in. It's helping me and our listeners in the new year with protein and super rich food products with so many options and flavors. Right now I have the Chocolate Bliss and Caramel Sundae, and they are both so delicious. I have to hide them from my husband so that he doesn't steal them too. They're a triplex protein blend, plant-based proteins that include pea, brown rice, and pumpkin that leave me feeling full. 310 Nutrition also has a hydrate electrolyte drink mix. My favorite is the peach mango flavor. So not only am I hydrating and drinking water, I have an electrolyte blend, vitamin blend, and it's sugar-free. With one stick of hydrate mix into 16 ounces of water, and it can provide the same amount of hydration equal to drinking 2 to 3 bottles of water. Thank you. This way I can keep my resolution, keep feeling strong, have greater focus, feel refreshed, and maintain my hydration without having to drink as much. One of my favorite refreshing water enhancers they have is the lemonade flavor. It gives me energy. This one's also sugar-free. It's used with real lemons and it's pH balanced. And this also offers the same hydration as 2 to 3 bottles of water. Right now, 310 is celebrating a new year of goals with code CHALLENGED and giving our listeners 50% off up to $100 for your first order. With so many sample packs, new products, it's really fun and easy to put together an order or start a subscription on products that you know you'll use and will help you keep your resolution. So go to 310nutrition.com and use the code CHALLENGED right now for 50% up to $100 for your first order. That's 310-nutrition.com and use code CHALLENGED. It's all the good stuff your body needs in flavors you crave. So be healthier effortlessly.
Back.
Well, one thing that also speaking about your children and your family that I really loved within The Real Housewives of Potomac last season was what you also referenced earlier, your sip and see, but just bringing in your Nigerian culture was so like beautiful and also like so fun to watch and learn about, like like learning about when you've got like your daughter lifted up and everyone's dancing and celebrating. I was like, why doesn't this happen more often? Was that super intentional as well, or did that happen organically?
I think it was organically, because we had to get her christened, and you know, my mom is really big on you have to give your child to the Lord before you do anything. So I was like, okay, I need to. I was like, I'm filming, mom. She was like, I don't care. So I'm like, okay, we have to do a christening. But my Nigerian culture is really, I don't know if it was connected in that way, but if I were to do like a picture graph, you hear 4 degrees, you hear professor, you hear political commentator, you see I'm a mom and I'm balancing all these things, but what is under that is my Nigerian culture, meaning I am doing all of those things because of my culture. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if the story read that way, but it's like, yes, I'm Nigerian, but it's my Nigerian culture and heritage that has pushed me to do all of these things simultaneously. And as a result, I was overwhelmed and I was questioning myself, and is this what I really want to do? But, you know, the 4 degrees is not because I'm like, oh my God, I have 4 degrees, I'm better. It's like, oh my God, mom, you want me to do all of these things, so I have 4 degrees. Other side, my husband has 4 degrees. You would never know, but it's just part of our culture. It's not like it's like it's not an anomaly. I know people who have 5 and 6. Like I need, you know, get some more. But it's my culture that makes me who I am. And so speaking about my culture and doing the sip and see was important for me, because you can't know Wendy without knowing her culture. Because once you find out my culture, I think for a lot of people it was like, oh, okay, now makes sense. Now adds up, you know, like, okay, I get it type of thing. And I don't know if you guys watched Dallas, Real Housewives of Dallas, but one of the new girls on there, she is Asian American, and she speaks about that. She's a doctor, and she talks about how her culture is what pushed her, and now she's trying to be happy and all this stuff. So all of us first generation immigrant kids, we really have a hard, man. Really hard.
We're not Nigerian, but being Black and just seeing like the push from your mother, like my mom also has 4 degrees. She's also a professor. And I felt a connection to you. And then I heard Giselle say Sora, and I was like, oh, that's why I'm also an AK as well. Yeah. And so I think it's important to show all sides of you. And I like seeing so much of you. Like, you're one of the first housewives that I've seen come on, like, that was introduced later in the season that I felt showed their whole life and was being truthful to who they are. And so is there like anything that we haven't seen yet that you want to share with us now?
It's so funny because I feel like season 2, Wendy, season 6, Potomac, is different. And I was just talking to my husband about that. And it's not different intentionally, but it is different. And I wonder if, just hearing you talk, and I'm here thinking out loud, if the people who appreciated what I brought my first season will continue to like me on this journey for this season, because it's different. And I don't want to give away too much, but it's not about degrees. It's not about Nigerian culture. It's about me doing things that make me happy, which is completely different than what you guys saw my first season. So there will be another side you guys get to see, and you know, spoiler alert, you guys will just get to see the fun side of Wendy, right? Like who she is. Because for me, like I love the fact, you know, I have 4 degrees, and I appreciate my academic accolades and my professional success. But those things also don't define me in a sense, right? Like when I'm just hanging out with my husband or with my friends, like those, like we don't even talk about those things. And so you guys will get to see a side of me that's like, okay, so who is she outside of that? Mm-hmm. So that's what, so you guys will get to see Wendy after dark, not in that type of way, but, but you get what I'm saying? Like, it's like, okay, so you guys, the first season, you guys saw Wendy 9 to 5. My second season, you guys see Wendy 6 to midnight, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
I love that. Do you attribute that to watching yourself on the first season? Or I know towards the end of the first season, I wanted to ask you about, you know, I know you were talking with your mom about not wanting to be a professor anymore and maybe having a big career change. But did that come maybe from that first season, or did 2020 contribute to that, like time at home, time with family, reevaluating, you know, what you found to be most important in life? I've been having a lot of these discussions with friends lately.
That was a great way to, you know, summarize it. It's a mixed bag of both. I think the impetus was the conversation I had with my mom about changing careers. And then the push was, man, like we're in a pandemic, like life is short. Like people are literally dying. People have died. And what are you going to do with your life type of question? You know, like, I think I just had like a midlife awakening, not a crisis, but just awakening of like, you know, like what have you always wanted to do that you have been putting aside? And what have you always wanted to do for yourself that you've been putting aside? And that's what I touch upon. I start to do those things. Finally, I start to chip away at my own to-do list, not anyone else's, not my mom's, not my children's, not my husband's, but what is on Wendy's to-do list for life. And I start to work on it.
We have a lot of listeners on this show ask us, you know, how do we figure it all out? Like, how do we decide what I'm supposed to do with my career and for the rest of my life? And, you know, I just can't seem to figure it out. And, you know, our intention in this space is to show that you don't have to have it figured out. But something that comes up more often than not is sitting down with incredible women who are also saying like, hey, I'm still changing my mind and I'm trying new things. And you don't have to commit to one thing for your entire life and decide that this is your identity. And do you have any advice to our listeners who feel that they are in that pressure or that they, you know, have to stick to that 9 to 5 version of themselves, who are hoping to explore, you know, what else they could be in search of their own identity?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's funny because I, like your listeners, I'm going through the same thing. I think it's really important for us all to know that it's okay to start anew, whether it's a career or a life change or something like that. Like, it's okay to start over and it's okay to be scared about starting over. And I think that everything in life is a journey, but we often look at life as one continuous journey, but I don't think life is one continuous journey. I think it's many journeys that will have a beginning and an end, and it's okay to start a new one, even if you are in your late 30s, early 40s, 50s, it doesn't matter. Life is about getting as many journeys in as you can. When I started looking at it from that lens, it changed my outlook. You know, I think that when you say life is a journey, it sort of, it makes it seem as though the point of living is just to survive. Life is a journey, so you survive. But when you realize that life, it has many journeys, then you realize the point of living is to thrive, not just survive, but thrive. And so for me, I think that that's what changed my outlook on life, was realizing that my goal in life is not to survive. My goal in life is to thrive. And how many journeys can I go on while I'm here?
That's all
I got, guys. That's my Dr. Phil for today.
Well, we have some fun questions we want to ask you about,
okay,
obviously,
sure.
About Real Housewives. Are you relieved after there was a big fight that happened that we need to acknowledge that we haven't really talked about yet. But are you relieved that T'Challa is no longer on the show, that you don't have to fight with T'Challa anymore?
You're so funny. Oh my God. T'Challa, you know, it's funny, but yes, I'm glad because now I know that my wig will be secure.
Yes. Oh my gosh. It was so funny. I died.
It was so scary. Funny.
It was scary.
You died from laughter. I died from internal fear. It was crazy. It was so crazy. Oh my God. And I talk with my hands. And so, because I was talking with my hands and I was doing all this, the poor bird probably thought I was saying, come to me. And I wasn't. So here we are.
Potty trained bird.
Oh my God. I can't deal.
Do you have any other like iconic moves coming up, like the Wendy Slither?
Oh my God. But thank you guys for thank you to Karen for pointing that out, because from that I realized I have horrible posture. But I will tell you guys the backstory of that. So yes, I have horrible posture, but I was walking down the steps and I had 5-inch heels on, Gucci heels.
I saw them. Yeah.
Hello. And I had a cocktail in one hand, and I was already 4 cocktails in. So I was trying to make sure I didn't fall. And as I was walking, I was saying to myself, don't fall on national TV. Don't mm-hmm. fall on national TV. Hence came the Wendy Slither. So there you go. That's the backstory to the Slither.
But you, the way that you like you just, it just like rolled off your back, like, and you embraced it. And I thought that was great.
I thought it was super cute. Yeah. I should do like a TikTok challenge.
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
I also loved that you were the only one that knew that the flag was from Portugal. Like, that just made me so
happy.
I'm such a nerd.
That was like a nerd moment come out. Like, who knows that? And then I was such a geek that I said to myself, I was like, how do you know this? And my first response was soccer, right? Soccer, like, I watch soccer, because I do. But then when I really processed it, I watch soccer, but I was like, how do I know this? And I wanted to be like, it's those damn 4 degrees. That's how I know this.
That's exactly.
And so there you go.
Was it fun? Is it fun to be traveling and filming a show? Is it, does it kind of take away from the experience? I mean, you seemed like you had a great time. You and I seem like very similar travelers. Like, I would have been drinking all the poncho with you and just soaking up everything. But just, was it a fun experience? Are you excited to travel again on the show, or was it just different?
No, it was fun. And it was fun for me. It was fun, but it was also weird because, you know, that was my first time traveling without my kids for a while. I was trying to put a timestamp on it, but I don't know. But also, it's symbolic. That Portugal trip will always be ingrained in my head because, again, not sure if you watch other Housewife franchises, we were the last franchise to travel out of the country. Mm-hmm. No other franchise has been able to travel because of the pandemic. So that was my last trip. I came back from there. My family and I were supposed to travel out of the country in March. We couldn't because of the pandemic. So that was the last time I was on a plane, was to Portugal. Like, that was it.
Isn't that crazy?
Isn't that insane?
I know.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. Do you have, like, Denise Richards has, like, I know that she's not on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills anymore, but one of her things was, like, she'd always look at the camera and go, bravo, bravo, bravo. Like, that was, like, her way to stop everything. Do you have, like, a bravo, 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 or, like, a, like, timeout, like, this is off limits? Are you able to do that? Is there something, a time where you wish you could have done that?
To say, it's so funny. No, I think for me, what I always say is we call it fourth wall. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not supposed to talk about like certain stuff. Not we're not supposed to talk about certain stuff, but rather it's like, don't make it seem like you're filming sort of thing. But I always say when I don't want something to make, I was like, I know you guys are going to edit this out, even if they're not going to, but that's like my thing. Like, I know you're going to edit this out. Baby, can you pass me that? But I just say that, just that's like my cue. Like, I'm about to transition. Like, I know you guys are going to edit this out. Or, I don't know if you guys know this, but they're big on like trademarks and copyrights. So if I start singing a song, that can't make it. So if something happens and I just start singing like a random song, then it's like, yeah, you can't use that. Yeah. So yeah, we have little tricks here and there.
Did you ever get a look at the binder at the reunion? Did anyone get their hands on that binder? Like, it was it full of just like scrapbook pages or just like magazine cutouts? Was there even anything
just in blank it? Pages?
I don't know. And quite frankly, I didn't care.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't care because I just thought maybe it was something to help with her memory type of stuff. But I have a really good memory, so I didn't care. Like, I didn't need any of that stuff.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. I'm just like, oh, okay, we brought props. Okay.
A very organized prop. Like, that took time. That took like a trip to Office Depot. Like, you know, it was a lot of time put into that. Yeah.
Good for her.
You know, she's not a lazy mom, so, you know.
That was a good one. That was a good one. Melissa, that was good shade. You should join the show. That was A1.
I'm just wondering also, has anyone met Jamal yet?
I knew Jamal before I came on the show.
Okay.
I met Jamal. And I actually went to the Unity March. I may be saying it wrong, but the March on Washington with Al Sharpton this summer after, you know, the George Floyd incident. And Jamal was there and we talked. So, like, I know him professionally because we do a lot of community engagement stuff. But yeah, that's me. But I don't know if any of the other ladies, like, know him or have met him.
Gotcha. I was just interested. He was missing from the reunion. And I was interested if he was sticking around for a season, for the next season.
I have no idea what Pastor Jamal was doing. I say out there.
I'm looking forward to the next season.
Oh, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Are you guys completely done filming it?
No.
Okay. So you're right in the middle of it? Potentially. Maybe. Who knows?
Maybe. Who knows? Yes. No. I don't know.
I don't know. Okay. Well, one thing you might know, which I know you can answer, is you've just had such an incredible career. What, out of all your degrees and all your schooling and all the jobs that you do have, what is something that sticks out that has taught you the most about yourself?
Oh, this is going to sound so cheesy, but like motherhood. I know that sounds cheesy, but it's true. Like, motherhood has been, man, motherhood has taught me how to be resilient. It has taught me how to not take myself too seriously. It has taught me how you may fail the first time, but with practice and, you know, just going at it again and again, you'll one day be great. Motherhood has taught me that no one is perfect. And motherhood has also taught me that, you know, outside of everything in life, what really matters is love. And, I see that my kids, like, we can spend so much money on their birthday and then they will play for hours with wrapping paper, you know, like just seeing the world through my children's eyes has been the biggest life changer. And yeah, outside of everything, like, I got through my degrees because of what I learned in motherhood. Like, I had both of my kids while I was getting my PhD. And I remember the night before my dissertation defense, I had crews, like, literally here. My husband has a picture. I had my notes up, my PowerPoint slides. I didn't have on the top. I was bare-chested and crews was latched onto my boob. And I think I had a tear coming down my face. And I swear you could put that picture in the Louvre because it just, like, it to me, it shows resilience. Like, here you are with this newborn baby and you're about to drive 3 hours because we lived in Maryland. I had to drive to Jersey. You're about to drive 3 hours to do a dissertation defense. And as hard as it was, I still did it. And that's, you know, when you go through stuff like that, nothing in life can shake you, you know? So my kids are my greatest life lesson, each of them. Yeah. Absolutely. That's
beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Wendy Assefo. Thank you so much for joining us. Where can our listeners find you on social media?
You can find me on all social media platforms at Wendy Assefo.
Great. And they can send really encouraging, nice things. That's what everyone, if you do follow Dr. Wendy on social media, let's do some nice encouraging words.
Yes, please. Thank you. I would appreciate it. thank you.
I mean, we're just saying how cool she is.
She's great. She's everything that I hoped she would be.
Have you met any other housewives?
Yes, I met Cynthia Bailey a couple weeks ago. I've met Nene. I've met some people from other Bravo shows as well. They're all been very nice.
I usually have a hard time like meeting actors that I'm a big fan of, mm-hmm. because I kind of just want them to be like what I think of they should be in my mind. And I'm sure, and I get that, like, I know that must sound really weird. As an actor,
yeah, you as
and
an actor.
Having been on a show, you know, people, I, you know, can sometimes get frustrated when I'm like, I'm not a 17-year-old vampire. that's not what I am, who I am in real life. But it is kind of fun to meet someone who works within like the reality TV world and then mm-hmm. have them be exactly who you want them to be. Like, it was nice to be able to sit down with Dr. Acefo, and she you can tell that there's no put on with within her season. Like, it wasn't like she was this new character. It doesn't feel like a character. It feels mm-hmm. very true. And so even her talking about how, you know, it really was just cameras following me around. Like, this is mm-hmm. what we had to get done in my life. We had a sip and see, you know, these are the events I had planned. This is dinner with my family. And they were just there for the ride. And it felt like that, which is refreshing in an atmosphere of television where it can feel sometimes like a put on, like what we were discussing, you know, where maybe on some other Real Housewives shows.
Yeah, you can definitely tell. And I know she said that, you know, if you're going to be on the show, then you should research before you go into it and watch some of it. But I think it was kind of refreshing, like her going into it and not really knowing all the drama that was happening before she got there. Because I think it's good, like, coming in, kind of like on scripted TV, do that a lot, where there's like a new person coming in, you can follow the show through their eyes. So I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, I liked that she had that perspective too. And that her mom mm-hmm. was like her little cheat sheet to the show.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so fun. I'm so excited for the next season. Do we know
Me
when
too.
It's going to be out yet?
I don't think we know. And
I think we do.
Yeah. I don't think we know. But she didn't want us to know if they were still filming or not. So
yeah. What you guys couldn't see when we asked her if they were filming was just a lot of just, you know, shrugging of the shoulders.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, keeping her lips sealed. Mm-hmm. But so they could be filming right now. Oh, my goodness.
I think they are.
I'm so ready for it. I'm so
Me
ready
too.
For it. Well, we hope that you guys enjoyed this episode. Please take care of yourselves, and we'll have an all new episode of Directionally Challenged waiting for you next week. Directionally Challenged is a production of Pineapple Productions. Producer, Melissa DeMonts. Edited by Katrina Henning. Post-production sound by Chris Henry. Music by Joe King. And advertising partnership with Acast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.